This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Former Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has called on the Council of Rulers to act on the Citizens' Declaration ahead of their meeting this week. Tun Dr. Mahathir has stated that the rulers have the ability to intervene in the executive branch of government, even to the extent of removing a democratically elected official. However, Prime Minister Dato Sri Najib Razak has responded, saying the Yang di-Pertuan Agong informed him that the palace cannot intervene in this matter. Malaysia's constitutional monarchy mirrors the Westminster model closely, except for in a few key instances. One notable difference is in the position of the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, elected from among state sultans once every 5 years, who is nominally the supreme head of state. However, in reality, the Yang di-Pertuan Agong's powers are limited, but just how limited? Today, we speak to Adnan Saman of Adnan Sharida and Associates on the powers afforded to the Yang di-Pertuan Agong under the federal constitution.
First, as we all know, the YDPA is acting on the advice of cabinet, which is headed by a prime minister. If we look at the specific provision of the constitutions, it defines that the YDPA shall be a supreme head of the federation and shall take precedence over all persons in the federation and shall not be liable to any proceeding whatsoever in any court. The YDPA is also having a power to dissolve parliament, the power to proclaim emergency, and YDPA is having the power to appoint a prime minister. And as always debated by political analysts or academicians or even politicians, whether the YDPA can usurp into the power of the prime minister in managing the country. But when we discuss whether the YDPA is having the power to interfere with the power of the executive, at the end of the day, we have to go back to the basic understanding and basic interpretation of the federal constitution.
In contrast, a fellow legal practitioner, Hanif Khatri, is of the opinion that the Yang di-Pertuan Agong does have the power to intervene, for example, in the appointment of an elected prime minister.
Under Article 40, what it prescribes actually are certain powers which are to be exercised by the YDPA through the advice of the executive, the ministers, whereas certain other powers which are solely in the discretion of the YDPA, which includes the appointment of a prime minister. And if we are to cross-refer to Schedule 11, Section 29 says this, power to appoint includes power to dismiss. But of course, I must add that for the YDPA to exercise its power to remove, that would be in a situation which, in the discretion of the YDPA, he believes that all the other avenues available under the Constitution has come to an end.
Adnan, however, disagrees with the statement.
When one person refers to Article 29 and tries to suggest that under Article 29, the power to appoint also includes power to dismiss, it means that YDPA is having a power to appoint the Prime Minister, so then he must also have a power to dismiss. I beg to differ on that interpretation because Article 29 actually refers specifically unless the contrary intention appears. So the word unless the contrary intention appears clearly shows that Article 40 as to the appointment of the Prime Minister does not provide specific provision of removal of a Prime Minister. If you look at Article 43, it provides clearly articles and explanations of powers of the YDPA to remove ministers. And of course, it is done on the advice of a Prime Minister. It is not the power of YDPA to interfere in how the executive runs the country.
Hanif underlines the fact that the Yang di-Pertuan Agong occupies a position as the fourth arm of government. He should therefore be able to act as a check and balance on other parties forming the governmental system.
We have various institutions which are given the necessary powers to check and balance the respective arms of the government. For example, legislature, the parliament, the executive, which basically is the prime minister and the minister, and the judiciary, the courts. But what we fail to understand is that the king in Malaysia is also an additional arm of the government who, as the supreme guardian of the state and the constitution, can intervene in the event, especially so if any of these avenues available cannot carry out their function. So if it appears to the king and especially to the public that the other avenues of check and balance fails or has been paralyzed or cannot perform, that is when it is timely for the king to carry out that function of check and balance.
Despite this, Adnan does not believe that the Yang di-Pertuan Agong can ignore the advice of the executive branch, nor does he have unlimited power in the appointment process.
The appointment of agencies, for instance, appointment of chief of police, appointment of pengarah of SPRM, this appointment is made by the YDPA on the advice of Prime Minister. So the word on advice, I would say, is actually an order. The YDPA is not having a discretion to say that, oh, I don't want that person to be AG. Of course, the Sultan can raise whatever argument that he has. But if the Prime Minister insists of that person be appointed as Attorney General of the country, then the YDPA must act and must then appoint that person to be Attorney General of the country.
But how does greater power to the rulers coincide with Malaysia's parliamentary democracy? Adnan weighs in.
When people elected a person to be their representative in the parliament, then that person has used their democratic right. And that member of parliament will then represent the people at the parliament. So they have then to decide who would be the prime minister. The prime minister will then decide who would be the deputy prime minister and the ministers. So if we are to suggest that YDPA should be given a full power or even a greater power to interfere with the executive to the extent of determining who would be the prime minister as he thinks fit, I think that will then cause instability. And whenever we have a political instability in the country, it will then affect the economy of the country. It will then affect the well-being of the people. So no country in this world, which is politically unstable, is able to develop the country. So I do not agree of any proposition, of any suggestion to have YDPA being given more power to serve into the power or duties of the executive.
Hanif disagrees and points out that the Yang di-Pertuan Agong does have power to act within the federal constitution.
To me, it also boils down to the people. If the people understand what are the actual powers of the YDPA, and if the people express themselves their position, which is that if they believe that there is no more application of the rule of law or obedience to the federal constitution, and if they do express themselves to the sultans that they need the assistance of the sultans and the YDPA, I'm sure the YDPA will look into the need of the people and the nation. So this is something which time will tell. What I'm explaining basically is this, that our system of parliamentary democracy does provide the YDPA as a fourth arm. It is actually another arm within the constitution, which we, the people ourselves, had decided to say that therefore the king is going to go against the concept of the parliamentary democracy in Malaysia, I think is wrong, because that is within the parliamentary democracy for the king to carry out that responsibility and duty under the constitution.
Regardless of beliefs on the matter, Adnan concludes that every citizen should exercise their right to vote in order to have a hand in determining the future of the country.
Some people are not happy whenever people say you should wait for the election. Yes, when we are not happy with something, we want it to be changed immediately because we feel the way that the country is moving is not what we think it should be, is it? But we do have a process. So I must say that as a citizen, as a people, we are actually given a very powerful tool in the form of a vote. So that's why I keep emphasizing that we must educate our people to use their vote, because that vote will then determine who will then become the ruling party. What government we want to have is depending on the vote that we're going to cast during the election.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.